Earlier this week, I was enjoying the beautiful weather outside and hiked past the rock quarry in Edwin Warner Park. Much of the stonework in the Warner Parks came from this quarry in the 1930s. The walls along the roads, the stones that make pathways, the stairway that goes up at the end of Belmead Boulevard. If you go down into the quarry, you can see the round holes that were drilled in the rock. Dynamite was dropped into those holes, and when it exploded, the rock face was blown off. And then the boulders that were left there in the pit were cut into the desired shapes and sizes and carried to the places where they would be put to work. You can still see some of the boulders left behind. Walking through this quarry where tons of limestone have been excavated turned my mind to the excavation of our spirits to which we attend during Lent. We, all of us, have rocks from which God would like to free us. Hard and rough places in our personalities, habits and behaviors and thoughts that hold us down, rocky relationships, coldness in our emotions, heaviness in our spirits. These are all rocks that keep us from the freedom, the warmth, the joy, the growth, the connectedness that God so much desires for us. God loves us so much, and he wishes for so much more for us. Lent is a time in the church year when we are invited to attend to those rocks. We're invited to slow down and notice them, to pray about them, to become willing to let them go, to let down our defenses so that God can attend to them, carefully lifting them out of us and off of us. It's tender, careful work God is doing in us, this rock work, because the rocks are hard and we are not. And God intends to heal us rather than injure us. Dante, in his Divine Comedy, uses a striking image of the proud being humbled in purgatory as they carry rocks on their backs. The rocks are proportionally sized to the people's presumptuousness in their lives. So some of the people are weighed down by smallish rocks, their backs bowed just a little, and some carry boulders that press their faces nearly to the ground, the boulders of arrogance that they must learn to shed before they can continue on. Our scripture lessons today are rocky too. The news buzzing around Jerusalem on the day that Jesus was teaching was the tragedy at the Tower of Siloam. The tower had fallen and the massive stones had crushed 18 people. What sin have they committed, the people wonder, that such tragedy should befall them? Nothing worse than what you have done, Jesus warns them. His message to the people is, you all have rocks that are crushing you. Perhaps not the literal sort, but you have metaphorical rocks that are just as real. And the rocks you carry will cause you to perish just as surely as would the rocks of the Tower of Siloam. And then there is this parable about the fig tree that is not producing fruit. The owner of the field sees that it is wasting the soil and tells the gardener to cut it down. But the gardener sees the potential fruitfulness in the fig tree and pleads with the owner of the field to give it one more year, during which the gardener will give it constant care. The gardener will give the tree the special attention it needs to become productive, digging around the roots, fertilizing it with manure, watering it. The gardener looks to the day when the branches of the tree will not be bare, but laden with fruit, groaning under the weight of all that it has produced. I wonder if there are rocks in the roots of that fig tree that are keeping it from producing. And if part of the gardener's work will be to carefully bring those rocks to the light and gingerly disentangle them from the root ball. Every so often when you're out in the woods, you'll see a tree that has toppled. Its roots that were once hidden in the ground are now right up there for us to see. And usually, the roots come up still holding on to some of the soil that had anchored it. Hiking in the Grand Tetons in Wyoming one summer, I saw a row of these trees that had been down for a long time. Not much of the trunk remained, but the roots were still there. They were gnarled and almost sculptural in their beauty, and still held within the roots were the stones around which they had grown, these big, flat stones, held aloft by the roots that even in their death could not let them go. We all have stones that are hard to let go of, stones that are making us unproductive. And we all have a gardener, Jesus, who is pleading for us. We all have a gardener who is willing to do whatever it takes to bring forth the fruitfulness in our lives that he yearns to be true for us. He will dig around our roots. He will take out the stones. He will add fertilizer. And our scriptures give us another rock today, too, a better rock. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul calls Jesus the rock who was with the Israelites even back in the Old Testament times, even way back when they had just been set free from bondage in Egypt and were making their way through the wilderness to the promised land. Jesus was with them even then, Paul says, a spiritual rock that followed them. Do you remember the story when the Israelites were in the wilderness? It hadn't been long since they had come out of Egypt, but it had been long enough that they were thirsty, and their livestock were thirsty. You know that soul-deep thirst where your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth and your tears get thick and all you can think of is your next drink? They had that kind of thirst. The Israelites were terrified that they were going to perish in the wilderness. And they cried out to God, "Why, oh why, God, did you bring us out of slavery in Egypt just to kill us in the wilderness?" And God commanded Moses, "Take your staff and strike the side of the rock." And so Moses did, and cool, fresh water came pouring out of the rock. Water enough for everyone. Water enough for the animals. Water enough to save a life. And water enough to save a nation. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians wants us to understand Jesus is this rock. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the soldier took his spear and struck him in the side. Blood and water came pouring out. Blood and water enough for everyone. Blood and water enough to save a life. Blood and water enough to save a nation. Blood and water enough to save the world. Lent is a time in the church year when we attend to the rocks that are in our lives. We attend to the destructive rocks, the rough spots in our personalities, the unwanted habits and thoughts and behaviors, the rocky relationships. We ask God to ever so gently disentangle them from the roots of our lives, even the ones that we are holding on to for dear life. And as those rocks surface, as they are removed, we realize that we can breathe again. What a relief. After being pressed down for so long, we can stand up again. After carrying so much for so long, we can rest again. Come, lay down your burdens, lay down your stones. You are loved. You are enough. You can rest. Because you too have been covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus, the rock of our salvation, shed his blood on the cross, and it is enough for you. It is enough to save your life. It is enough to save your family. It is enough to save this nation. It is enough to save this world. And as you find your rest in God, you will also find new life coursing through your veins. You find new energy, new strength. But now it is no longer your energy and your strength, but it is the strength of the Lord within you. And this is the beginning of a new flourishing. This is the beginning of a new season of fruitfulness. Just like for the fig tree, our gardener, our Savior, has a future for us. When our lives too will be laden with fruit, fruit given so abundantly that we nearly groan under the gift of it.